Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back. The 2025 MLB season is upon us. So what's the easiest way to keep up with all the big stars, top scores, and fun storylines from the night before? What's the solution? Is there a secret?
Chocolate milk and squats. That's the secret.
Not quite, Pete, but there is the Morning Lineup podcast, a quick, less than 10-minute morning highlight show from MLB. It airs Mondays through Fridays on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You bring the chocolate milk, we'll bring the baseball news.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. NFL draft in less than a week. Ed, who is the one player that you love, absolutely love in this year's draft?
Nick Emmanuori from the South Carolina Gamecocks, hands down. He is the number one pick for me.
Why do you love him?
Because he's the best athlete in this position. And I think, you know, there's actually a need for safety. We have, I think, the best safety in the league currently. But you can't have just one. You need a couple, and I think putting him with Kyle Hamilton would be incredible. Hamilton's 6'4", Emmanuori's 6'3". He's an athletic freak. You're talking about a guy that's, you know, 6'3", 220. He ran an official 4.38 40 at the combine, 43-inch vertical. He's one of those guys. He's right out of a comic book. And I would love to see him in a Ravens uniform in a defensive backfield and just think about, you think about being the opposing quarterback looking back there and you've got him and you got Hamilton back there. These two, gigantic athletic safeties. First, you have to either throw over them to complete a pass deep or even, you got to worry about them coming through and blitzing. And I just think it'd be just an awesome, addition to this team. And he's not slated to go real high, probably because of his position, because people have other needs. I saw him in a couple of mock drafts in the early 20s, so not out of the question for the Ravens.
Hey, you just wasted a lot of words. All you had to do is say because he's from South Carolina and stop there.
Yeah, I know. Other people listen to the show.
You wasted a lot of words. Hey, why do you like him? He's from South Carolina. Okay, there you go. Let's go. Hey, who do you like, Jeremy?
Yeah, I mean, look, I went back and forth. You know I'm going to take a pass catcher, whether it was going to be Tet McMillan or one of the other guys. But I am taking a pass catcher. It's just not a wide receiver. My guy's Tyler Warren. I effing love that guy. And I think coming into the league, you're going to see someone. I hope he goes to the right team. Please don't send him to a team that has some sorry-ass quarterback. That's probably what's going to happen. I see him mocked to the Colts. So, yeah, that's not one that you want to watch. But, yeah, he's a guy that if you watched him in college – there's a lot of tight ends in this draft that I like. I keep bringing up Gadsden from Syracuse, but this guy's kind of a do-it-all. And Penn State, you realize the season Penn State had this year, that Abdul Carter on the defensive side, their defense was really good, but what made their offense go was Tyler Warren, in my opinion.
Jeremy's like the Bobby Knight quote. When Bobby Knight was coaching the Olympic team, he was talking about Michael Jordan. He said, well, I don't know why he doesn't go number one in the draft. He said, well, that team needs a center. He said, well, draft Michael Jordan and play him at center.
Yeah.
Jeremy's the front. If Jeremy was a GM, Jeremy, why are you drafting a wide receiver? We need a guard. Well, line him up at guard.
Yeah. Well, to your point, though, I don't know if you remember this. Like, I screamed at the top of my lungs about the Lions having the number one pick, and they just drafted two wide receivers in the first round that didn't pan out for them. And everybody's going, you can't take a receiver with your first pick. F you, take Calvin Johnson. What are you talking about? Did you watch that guy play? That was a can't miss of all can't misses.
It was.
And he went to Georgia Tech where they didn't even throw the damn football.
Yeah, he was unbelievable. My guy is from a smaller school, and I went on radio about a month ago in Cleveland, and I said this name, and the announcers were like, I'm not seeing him in the first round, Rob, because I wanted the Ravens to get him. Not only is he in first round, but He's now graded higher. Like, he won't fall to the Ravens. He's from Marshall. Mike Green, pass rusher. He went from one sack at UVA. Then he went to Marshall his second year after sitting out a year. He had 4.5 sacks. Last year, he had 81 total tackles, 17 sacks. 6'4", 248. I think this kid coming off the edge is an absolute stud. I think he's a guy that's going to be a difference maker at that position. I think he was under-recruited, maybe even underappreciated a little bit at UVA, the reason he transferred. But I love Mike Green. I want to see him. I just so happened to see him one game in college, and he got on my radar, and then I saw his numbers and everything for his pro day. I love him.
So one thing I wanted to throw him, because I thought for sure somebody was going to pick Ashton Jonte, and I think we all looked at different things. But if you don't wind up with Ashton, ain't nothing wrong with winding up with Omarion Hampton. That guy can play, and I think there are two significant upper echelon running backs in this draft. I'm not saying there's not more. I just feel so confident in those two that they're going to have successful careers in the NFL.
Oh, and by the way, Mike Green ran a sub-4.6 at his position. Ain't bad.
Mm-mm.
Ain't bad. Shuttle a 4.25. Ain't bad.
So the interesting thing is, like, none of us – I was looking at potential busts and – hey, who could be the biggest bust here? And the quarterbacks are all listed at the top.
No doubt. No,
like,
doubt.
Every one of them. And you and I were talking. It was like, hey, I think everybody could go with the quarterback here.
At 8 o'clock, let's do the ones we stay away from.
Okay.
All right. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fans. Are you starting to get the feeling that the Orioles just isn't their year yet? We'll talk about that at 7:30. But on the other side, it's shovels time, Ed Norris.
Yeah, I just have to talk a little bit about this. The U.S. government's neglect of our own people in distress. Something just happened that it's just stunning that we're not responding to this.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter, at BBMS, 1057 The Fan. Shovels next. 7:15 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. We're giving out shovels right now. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter, at BBMS, 1057 The Fan. Ed Norris will get your shovel.
The United States government. How people, you know, our government seems to be really, and it's been going on for a long time, a little misguided with their priorities, especially as far as their own citizens go. And I don't quite understand what, I mean, I kind of do. I think we all know why they do things. But it seems really disgraceful. And I'm talking right now about just aid, money. Because money is currency. The world runs on currency. And you know, we've given Ukraine $183 billion since 2022 were made available to them. And we should support Ukraine, I believe. I think Russia's a danger to the world. Politics aside, we've given them this much money. Do you know there's been another total blackout in Puerto Rico?
Yeah.
Yeah. They just had one New Year's Eve. Now, this is 4 months later. 1.4 million residents, the entire island, no one has power. And they're not getting it back for days and days and days. And this isn't just like, oh, my lights are off. Think about this. Your lights are off. Your food's gone bad.
Yep.
Stores aren't open, so you can't get food. The rail system is out. You can't get around. I mean, the malls are closed. People aren't going to work.
Your whole life is shut down.
Life is shut down in Puerto Rico. This is the United States we're talking about. That's part of America. How do we abandon these people? They're all citizens.
And what about the people that went there maybe on vacation and now can't get back?
I can't get back.
Because everything's shut down.
Everything's shut down. I mean, you think your hotel's shut down. Everything is shut down. It's just, I'm looking at the photographs, like, wow, things you don't think about. Like, they showed people walking from the rail system. The rail system just stopped. Like, the New York City subway system is electric. It goes out. What do you do? They get out of the trains. They start walking along the tracks to get to where they're going. It's disgraceful. I looked at shopping malls. The biggest shopping mall in the Caribbean is in Puerto Rico. And the gates aren't even down because they can't move them. So, like, all their merchandise is vulnerable to looting and stuff. Wow. And no one can go to work. And it's just, like, it's disgraceful. We're so worried about everyone else except our own kids. It's like bad parents. It's really pissing me off.
Well, in the words of Jay-Z, this ain't politically correct. This might offend my political connects. My shovel goes to all gender restrooms. I think it's yet another way of the death of masculinity. You want to have an all-gender restroom, that's fine. But why do you eliminate the standing urinal? Why is it, do you, you just take, is, if being masculine now, Ed, is taboo. You can't be masculine. You got to blend in with everybody else. Okay, let's have it. If it's supposed to meet all genders, we use standing urinals. Why would you why do you eliminate the standing urinal in an all gender bathroom?
I didn't realize they did that.
Yes, I have not been to one. I have not been in one that does not have a standing urinal. I have not been in one. And if I've been in 10, that's 10 too many. This was once a male bathroom. In fact, one that I've been in, you could tell where there used to be a standing urinal because they put like hard tile on it now, that area. I mean, it's the more I go along, the more I realize that being a man, a masculine male, is no longer an in thing. It's taboo. It's a bad thing. It's almost like it's the new four-letter word.
I got rid of my masculinity years ago. It's free.
I don't get it. I don't. No standing urinal in an all-gender bathroom. I don't.
Yeah, but it would be off-putting if you were in there and a woman was standing up peeing in the stand-up urinal. A little off-putting.
Jeremy, who gets your shovel?
Yeah, my shovel goes to just whiny-ass bitches. So you guys are comic book movie fans, right?
You go see love it. Yeah. Absolutely. Love them.
New Fantastic Four is coming out. And in the new Fantastic Four, they have the Silver Surfer.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And now they have a woman playing the Silver Surfer.
Oh, come on.
And people are you upset about that?
Yes.
Why? It's a fake character. It's not a real person. It reminds me of all the people out there going, oh, that character's gay, so it's got to be portrayed by a gay person. No,
oh,
it doesn't.
Really?
It's acting.
How about if Snow White came back as a man? She's a fictional character.
I don't give a rat's ass.
Like, well, that's you. Everyone else does.
Well, no, everyone else gets upset because, oh, that character's white in the story, and now he's black. Why
Silver
did you do
Surfer's,
that?
He's silver.
He's an alien. She's yes. silver in it. What does it matter? It's not even a real character. It's fake. People take these stories like, oh my God, they didn't tell you, they didn't have a black guy playing Hitler. And that's not what they did. And then people get upset over this stuff too, and it drives me insane. Like looking at, it'd be different too. Like for example, I'll give you one. They wanted Denzel Washington. There were rumors that they wanted him to play Magneto. Now, if you come to me and say, hey, Magneto's storyline has to do with the Holocaust, I don't think it makes sense. I'm listening to you. But they're fictional characters. It doesn't matter.
But there's still characters throughout history. They're no different than characters in a Dickens novel.
There was a female Silver Surfer. Like in the comic books.
In the comic itself, yes.
Yes, so what's wrong with taking it and putting it in the comic book movie? She might not be the same Silver Surfer. It's a different one.
But that's a different story.
I mean, it's not.
I don't care about that. Because like, when they remade Captain America, he's black now. But he's not Steve Rogers. It's just a different guy. If they're going to make her a different character that was already in or not already,
but they do this,
in, that's fine.
Is this Silver Surfer played in? Yeah. What's the name?
Ozark.
Yeah.
But here's the thing with it and with comic books now, and if you are a comic book reader, fans were getting upset because they would create all these alternate universes with different people playing different things. People have watched the multiverse, right? And you're like, oh, look, that actor's playing that. And this one, oh, it's a woman. How about the Spider-Man movies when they go across the multiverse and there's a female one? There's one that's a pig. It doesn't matter.
A pig Spider-Man woman?
Yeah.
Spider-Pig.
Spider-Pig.
Yeah. I think Homer had it, right?
The same one. It's supposed to be the same one.
Yeah. But I'm saying, like, that's the reason why.
What's the Spider-Pig superpower?
It still has the same powers.
Yeah, annoying.
It can still swing.
Produces bacon without dying.
There's what was the one that's in? It's like in all black and white.
What's Spider Noir.
Spider Noir.
They're making a movie about that. A show about that one. It's Nicolas Cage as Spider Noir.
Yeah. So they're gonna keep doing this and changing things up. And I get like people are like the woke Nicolas this, Cage? The woke that.
Is he still getting roles?
Yeah, he's kind of got memed out. He's actually kind of had a resurgence because he just does really off the wall stuff now.
He does whatever he wants.
He does bad movies. Well, bad acting. Sometimes good movies.
It's over the top. I think that's the point.
What, his acting?
Yeah, he's trying to, like, it's so absurd that people are like,
bees!
Okay. Yes,
the bees,
not the bees.
Yeah, he is kind of one of those weird ones, man. But whatever. You know, like, again, this is, I think, too, with the comic book movies that are coming out, we're still waiting for, what's it called, a good one. So if you guys could get on that.
This Thunderbolts one looks really good.
It's different.
The test screenings have been, quote, off the charts.
So they don't. Really? So just like the end of every comic book movie we've seen for the past 12, they don't convince the bad guy to be good at the end?
Well, I mean, yeah, I could explain it to you. The main bad guy is not really a bad guy. He starts off as a good guy, and then he has an alter ego that he turns into.
Yeah.
But then they have to save him. But
Jeremy, I have one question before we break.
Mm-hmm.
Is Thor off limits?
No, there's
Can he remain a male?
There has been a female Thor in the comic books 50 years ago.
Hang on a second. Let me finish my thought. Thor is not just a comic. It's a character out of Norse mythology. Has always been depicted as a Nordic-looking male. How can you make that a woman?
It's a mantle. It's a title of given as Thor. There is an OG Thor. Like, there is a main Silver Surfer. Once that one died, they turned it into a character.
I'm not talking about the Marvel
comics. Saying that's what they're doing.
Yeah, except they adopted him right out of mythology.
But that doesn't make sense either, because then technically he should be stronger than everyone because he's a god.
He's not?
No, he's not.
And all that stuff's fiction anyway. You want to talk about Norse gods?
Do I get into the Bible?
I mean, we can go wherever you want with this and piss everybody off today.
Everybody had a shovel today that got somebody going.
Isn't that what shovels are for?
Yeah, I guess so, but I'm surprised I gotten any calls yet.
You will.
I'm not checking the text line.
World is stupid at 8:15, but on the other side, are you starting to get the feeling that this just isn't the Orioles' year? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Who is the one player you wouldn't touch in this year's NFL draft? Let's do that at 8 o'clock, but right now, the Baltimore Orioles, 8-10. Grayson Rodriguez set back in his rehab. We haven't heard a whole lot about Zach Eflin as far as the timetable for his return. You got a closer that can't pitch back-to-back days. Jordan Westberg is scuffling. Are you starting to get the impression, Ed Norris, that this just may not be the Orioles' year?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I think the injuries more than anything else. When you start to – when Grayson's latest news kind of a little deflating, because sometimes it's just not your year. You know, we've seen this. You know, we've seen it in every sport where really good teams, because of, you know, the injury just kind of go right through the locker room or clubhouse in this case, and it's not your year. It's early, so I'm not even absolutely positively not hitting the panic button because a lot can happen. You were one tenth through the season. That means 90% is left. A lot of baseball to play. I'm not worried, but I'm starting to get a little concerned about it because I'm watching some of the your most important pieces. You know, not on the field.
Jeremy, the Orioles right now have 8 wins. The best team in their division has 12. Nope, I'm not at that point.
I'm not even.
I got to be honest with you. That hasn't even entered my mind.
Well,
that it's not their year. To me, if you are in this position and you're still 2 games under, 4 games under 500, and you're in June, then we have problems. But I wouldn't be surprised if this team on April 18th is over 500 before the end of the month.
Yeah, look, and I go back to when the Nats won the World Series. If we hadn't had what we had and they shortened the season or whatever, they wouldn't have made the playoffs. And then they went on to win the World Series. And I'm not saying that's exactly what happens with the Orioles. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't concerned about starting pitching. I think everybody has to be. Your 2 best pitchers are hurt. You got another one that's coming back, but we don't know what he's going to look like.
Right.
And is that going to be June? You know, as Ed pointed out, the news with Grayson does not look good. And is this a different injury? Is this affecting the same thing? I know that, you know, we're going to have to wait and find out if he can actually pitch. But I said this looked eerily similar to what Garrett Cole went through last year. And look where he's at now.
And the way the American League is stacking up, but especially this division, this could be one of those years, and I said it early in the week, first team to 90 wins the division in terms of wins. I just don't think this is one of those traditional 95-plus win years for the AL East. I don't think the teams are bad. Like last year, 94 wins won a division. It may take the 91 that the Orioles had in second place last year to win a division. I don't think the division is bad. I just think it's that balanced. I don't think it's stacked in terms of, oh, it's a phenomenal division. No, I just think it's very balanced in terms of the talent level.
Who's in first place right now? Toronto?
Yankees.
The Yankees are in first place now.
Yeah, so 12-7. Toronto is 11-8.
So, again, Toronto, I do not expect them to be up there at the end, but it could be wrong. Maybe their pitching holds up and they're better than we think. And a lot of this is going to depend on who flinches first, who makes the move that can help put them over the top. If all these teams are kind of muddled together within, whatever, 8 games of each other throughout the course of the year, there's going to be one that eventually falls off. Maybe it's your team, maybe it's not. But all those teams in there, and then all of a sudden you add something at the trade deadline, something of significance.
Which I think they will.
That can help put you over the top. I'm just wondering, I keep bringing up Coby Mayo because, again, the guy's done everything he has to do at AAA. He's absolutely killing it. So are you capitalizing on the situation and trying to trade him and get something for him? Or are you eventually going to see him at the major league level? Now, I think it's going to be the major league level. But again, this is one of those things because they're not trading Bisaccia. And if they had to pick one of the three, I think it would be Coby Mayo.
The Orioles are one of four teams in the American League East whose run differential is plus. The only team that's negative, the Boston Red Sox. They're minus 11, which is odd because they're 10-10. The Orioles are two games under 500, and they're on the plus side.
You know what's really odd? Every team in the West, including the Texas Rangers at first, have a negative run differential. It's bizarre. If you look around the league, it's weird.
And the Rangers are five games over 500. And
that's it. Best team in the division. Yeah. And the Tigers, too. I mean, Tigers, the only team with a positive run differential. The next four teams, you know, Guardians, Royals, Twins, White Sox, all negative in double digits. You look throughout the same National East, Mets are above, positive differential. The next four teams, despite the 11-8 Phillies, negative run differential. It's weird.
Okay, let me take it one step further, Ed. We're talking about like you can only win a division. All of the teams that are ahead of the Orioles in the wild card, Orioles are actually like one game back of the wild card right now. And I know that's, we're talking, is this not the year? You got to look at all the possibilities. Out of all the teams that are in front of the Orioles, only the Blue Jays have a plus run differential. Every other team in front of them is negative. This I just can't go into the mindset of, man, this might not be their year. If it's not the Orioles' year, then whose year is it? It's nobody's year right now. If it's not them.
I'm not looking at the record or any of this stuff for it's not the year because I think it's silly to do it this time of year. I'm looking just at what I'm seeing, especially the pitching staff. I just don't see this team, you know, if we have one guy gets a sore shoulder now, you're going to have like a broken rotation. I don't see us really having a great season the way the pitching stacks up now, especially with Grayson's news. That's what I'm looking at. It's just because you need it. And I'm frankly, I look at the American League and maybe they will do okay because I'm looking, who's the best team in the American League now? You want to say the Yankees, the Rangers? I don't know.
You just made my point with the second comment you made. Because I'm not looking at the record either. I'm looking at the situation just like you. But if three teams got to make the wild card, who?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I mean, who do you trust? We've seen the Guardians. Eh? We've seen the Royals. I think they're going to be a good team by season's end, but how much better?
I hope the Tigers add a few bats at the trade deadline.
I hope the Tigers are for real. They're another team, I think, that needs to be good.
I mean, the
Lakers of basketball.
The Jays don't impress me. The Red Sox, we've seen them. They don't impress me. I mean, it's hard for me to say, even with what the Orioles have going on right now, that I can say it's not their year yet because I'm not impressed with anybody in the American League. It's not. I'm with you, Ed. It's not their record. Don't get me wrong. If they were, 4-14 like the White Sox, then, yeah, it would be their record. It would definitely be their record then. But it's more of no one impresses me in the American League right now.
Yeah. And until no one does either. I think the National League has like three or four teams better than anybody in the American League. Honestly, the West is just the Padres look fantastic. Dodgers are Dodgers. I just think there's better teams in the National League right now.
I like this Cubs team a lot, and it sucks that they lost Justin Steele. But I, you know, again, when you look at the Dodgers, the Cubs, the Padres, what do we want to throw? The Phillies, the Mets. I, God knows if the Braves are going to get back into it. I fully believe they are. They're too talented not to. But you look at those teams. Yeah, there's a lot of top tier teams in the National League. But I still feel like we're going to see the top tier teams in the American League eventually. It may not have the differential that we see in the National League.
Yeah.
And I do think the American League can win the World Series this year. I don't think it's a like, oh, my God, those four teams are so good. But you got to admit, I mean, if you look at the Dodgers right now, you're going, what all-star team is that? Is that the West or the East? Is it the National League, the American League? Their team is a damn all-star team, and you're going to have to beat that.
World of Stupid with Jeremy Conn at 8:15, but on the other side, we want to hear from you. Are you starting to get the feeling that this just isn't the Orioles' year? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Taking your phone calls, 410-583-1057. That's the number. Are you starting to get the feeling that this just isn't the Orioles' year? As I said before, looking at the American League, I don't believe that you make assessments like that without knowing what everybody else is doing. And right now, knowing what the rest of the American League is doing, no, I don't get that impression, because there's no one that I see putting the Orioles to rest right now. And I don't believe that for the rest of the season, Jeremy, that they are a team that's going to be two games under 500. I just don't.
Yeah, I don't either. you might be right, but when we get to the end of the season, maybe it is the teams that have weaker divisions that end up sneaking in, mm-hmm. and you have these teams, you're going, man, how did we miss the playoffs over that team? But this division, these teams are all going to beat up on each other. Yeah. It's a matter of how you do within your own division. And the fact that you have so many games with the teams that are ahead of you right now, and I do think this team's going to get better as the season goes along. Doesn't mean the others won't, but I do think they're going to make some moves this year to better this team. We'll see. People call me too optimistic sometimes. I try to be a realist. It's 162 games, and to say that anything is factually going to happen right now is ridiculous.
That's not the question, though. The question was, how do you feel? Let's back up, too. I didn't say this is what I thought was going to happen, but I said I'm starting to get that feeling because I'm watching the way the injuries are falling. And that to me means, and by not your year means, you're not going to win at all. You just don't have what it takes.
Well, it ain't been their year in 40-some years, then.
Well, it hasn't.
Well, my definition.
But it really, seriously, you look at it, I'm like, Rob was always fond of saying the eye test, like with Hall of Fame players. You don't need to look at stats. It's, the eye test. I'm watching the team, I'm going, I don't know, man. They may be an 87, 90-win team, but I just don't see it until, and especially with all these injuries. I just don't like what I see pitching-wise.
Well, and my definition of not being a year is get to the playoffs. I still think this is a playoff team. Let's go to Belair, Rashawn and Belair.
The hell?
Rashawn, you're in Belair?
Hell no, I ain't no Belair, man. I never go up them parts, man.
It says,
I get it right.
No, Rashawn, I think you got a little bougie and all of a sudden moved out of Belair because Joe didn't make that mistake. You told him Belair.
Never. He must be high or something, man. He took one of Jeremy,
No, you high. High up 95 in Belair.
I ain't sharing. What are you talking about?
Nah, man, I don't go up in the parts, man. They pull you over for nothing out there, Yeah, I know what I mean, too, man.
I don't think we ever had Rashawn.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've never been pulled over out there.
Yeah, I bet you haven't,
Well, Rashawn had to go up. He had to high-five the other black guys so he could leave.
Let's be honest for a second. I know about 10 white folks that got DUIs in Belair.
I think I know
they are equal opportunities on them DUIs.
I think,
man.
I know one that has five of them.
Especially that Looney's up there in Belair, man. Oh, that's my, what we do instead of South of parking lot, man.
They will get you up in Belair, man.
I was in a fantasy football draft where the guys used to put how many DUIs they had above their name. And because I had zero, they made fun of me.
Really?
Man.
Look at this amateur. Yeah. Dudley Do-Right over here. What's on your mind, Rashawn?
Hey, man, but I like that slogan, man. Is it that year? Because I use that a lot, with the Cowboys. It's that year every year. I think it could be. I'm glad you defined it, Rob, because when you say that year, I think definitely they can make it to the playoffs. I thought y'all were saying it's that year as far as winning the World Series.
That's how I took it, actually.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to reach that point, but we got a lot. You got to be optimistic. I'm not, a negative guy like that Trippy Lockefour. That's what I call him now. It should be like a four because he's so negative, man. but we're going to get some pitching back. Bradish is going to come back eventually.
Did you just nickname him TLC? Back. Is that what you just did?
Yeah, exactly. That's his new name from now, man, because he's so damn negative, man. And, like I said, we're getting Bradish back. I think Gibson is going to be he's going to give us some good games, better than what Morton is doing. I would say that. And Grayson, with the thing with the shoulder, is that going to be something significant they're saying, or any other reports coming out with that?
Now, if the question was, are you getting the feeling that this is not going to be Grayson's year? I would say yes, I'm getting that feeling because I'm leaning towards we can't rely on Grayson this year. That's what I'm leaning towards.
Yeah, definitely not. Definitely not, man.
But, hey, Trippy, Rashawn, it's long enough, man. You got to go. Go back to Belair, man. You got to go. Long enough.
Damn.
Man, he had to go.
Gotta go.
Yeah, I'm getting the feeling about Grayson though.
Yeah.
If you put Grayson in that and take the Orioles out, that I would say, yeah, I'm getting that feeling about him.
But, like, you know, it's the same way. I hate talking about this because it's one show and bringing up something from another show. Like, I don't think Locke and Ford thinks he's negative. I think he's being a realist according to how he sees it. The same way I think I'm being a realist and people think I'm an optimist.
Yeah,
you know,
it's an opinion show. I mean, that's his opinion, your opinion. We all have our own opinions. Doesn't mean you're right or wrong.
No, mine's usually right. It's just, it's, oh,
yeah,
sorry,
like,
no.
Like you've been right on Morton. Yeah.
Hey, that wasn't me. That was my algorithm.
Your algorithm,
son of a bitch. Morton and salt guy. No, but like, again, when you start looking at a baseball season, I feel like it, to take such a small sample size, have we played more than 10% of the season yet?
10% is where you are.
Roughly, right? So yeah. It's, this doesn't define who, you still have to play all these other teams. You haven't played these horrible ass teams. You haven't even played some of the teams that don't know they're horrible yet. And I think things are vastly going to change. The one thing with this team, and what I agree with Ed, and like when you start looking at the starting pitch and you're like, that's not getting it done in the postseason. It's not. So there has to be some changes there. Maybe it's just getting healthy.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. You know, it's I don't, I can't debate with Ed or anybody else who says, no, I don't feel it's their year because of all those things. Not only that, but there's evidence to suggest that they could be right.
Mm-hmm.
There is. I mean, the evidence to suggest that they, that it could be their year is, you know, the hard contact. They just won a couple of games in a row, two good pitching performances. You can say, well, Rob, there's only two games. Well, it's two out of 18 games. They haven't played a lot of games. They had some other good pitching performances before the last two as well. But, like, Ed's talking about the injuries. Okay, is Jordan Westberg going to turn around? I don't know. Are they going to replace Cionel Perez? Because you can't hide a guy in the bullpen on a contending team. Are they going to replace him? Because I don't think he's going to turn around. So there's enough stacked against this team right now for you to wonder whether or not this is going to be the year. I just don't feel that way.
Yeah.
But I can understand that you do. Because there's a lot going on. I guess for me, I'm looking at the rest of the American League and thinking, yeah, I hear you on all those things, but tell me who you're scared of. I mean, it's not so much that I think the Orioles are a juggernaut. It's just the fact that I don't believe there are any. Or they're so balanced and so similar to one another that they're just going to beat up on one another through the rest of the year. You pointed out, Ed, no one in the American League West, the Texas Rangers are 12-7. And their run differential is minus 11. Come on, man.
Yeah.
How are you 5 games over .500 and negative 11? Yeah. That means when they get beat, they get whooped. That's what that means.
And it means when they're winning, they're probably squeaking by with one run games.
Yeah.
And that's why the Cubs, you know, Jeremy said, I'll be honest, I still can't get wrap the Cubs around my mind that they're as good. But they have the second best run differential in the majors, right behind the Padres. One run, 37-36. So they're beating people.
They beat the Padres more times than the Padres beat them, yeah. I think. Or it's split now.
Matt Weyrich joins us from BaltimoreSun.com at 8:45 to talk more Orioles. But on the other side, we gave our answers early in the show at 7 o'clock. Who is the one player that you love in this year's NFL draft? Well, at 8 o'clock, we're going to tell you who's the one player we wouldn't touch in this year's NFL draft. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.